Thank you for your diligence, and if you need to stand up around the outside, there's not a whole lot of room on the outside of this room, but do whatever you have to do. Let me ask you to find your place in your notes on putting your past in your place, or how to handle the past biblically. There's a lot of reasons why I think we ought to have this in a seminar like this, why this topic is important. Let me give you three of them quickly. One is the world is really placing major emphasis on this area of the past. It's just amazing how frequently this topic comes up in conversation. And I can illustrate this all day long, but here's a couple that maybe you are familiar with. How many of you remember the Menendez brothers? Remember the Menendez brothers, these two young men who grew up in a very, very wealthy home, and when they were young adults, they went into their parents' home. Their parents were sitting next to one another on a love seat. The two boys had semi-automatic weapons. They just literally blew their parents away in cold blood, reloaded, and did it again. Incredibly violent crime. Well, what was their defense? Of course, they pled not guilty. I mean, we wouldn't consider them guilty of anything there. And so what was their defense? It was that they should not be held responsible for their crimes because they had been abused. Well, abused when? Abused like 5 seconds before was their argument that their little father, I think he was 80 years old at the time, had just been beating the fire out of them. So in self-defense, thankfully they had some semi-automatic weapons with them, and they just blew their father away before he could abuse them again. Was that their defense? No, the argument was that the father had abused them sometime in the past, and therefore they should not be held responsible for their crime today. And you say, well, that's bad. Well, no, that's not actually what's bad yet. What's bad is, do you remember the result of the first trial? It was a hung jury. 12 peers could not bring themselves to hold those two young men responsible for their crime. Now, thankfully, after retrial, they were convicted, but the fact that it even went that far tells you something about the way this culture views the power of the past. And by the way, you might say, well, are you taking some sort of a position about whether or not the Menendez brothers were abused? Not at all. I'm not taking, how would I know whether the Menendez brothers were abused by their father or not? What I'm saying is you cannot use something that happened to you in your past to justify a sinful choice today. That is the issue if you're going to think about this biblically. And I realize, you know, when I give this discussion in crowds like this, I mean, I'm sure there are people who have all sorts of significant abuse in your past, and I'm not minimizing that at all. I've spent a lot of time, a lot, working with people who have been abused in all sorts of ways. So I'm not trying to minimize that in some way. I'm just simply trying to put it in perspective with biblical theology. And what the Menendez brothers claimed and what the first jury apparently agreed to is simply outrageous. Take Roseanne Barr. Please, take Roseanne Barr. Roseanne says that the reason she cusses like a sailor, drinks like a fish, smokes 5 packs of cigarettes a day, etc., etc. The reason she is what she is, it's not her fault, it's not a responsibility, it's because her parents abused her. Now, never mind the fact that they vehemently deny that even to this day, both mom and dad, and never mind the fact that Roseanne never remembered her abuse until she went into therapy. But that is her view, that she cannot, and that's the point here. She cannot be held responsible for the choice that she's making today because she's being ruthlessly driven by powers in her past. And again, you say, well, are you taking a position about whether she was abused or not? Of course not. I'm not doing that at all. But do you believe that we are simply victims of circumstance? I mean, do you have the Three Stooges view of life? I'm just a victim of circumstance, or however Curly used to say it. Is that the best you have to offer counselees who have been suffering? It's everywhere. You say, well, you're talking about stuff in California. What would you expect? Well, I'm sorry. You know, that I probably just offended somebody, and I feel so badly about that now. That will now become part of my past and yours. Anyway, right up here, let's talk about Indiana then. Right up north of here, 20 miles, a couple of young boys graduated from high school, and they didn't want to go on the path of success the normal way, of like getting a college education and getting a job and earning money, and that's like way too much work for these two. So what they decided to do right after high school graduation, late one night, they went down to their neighbor's house, robbed him, stole some cash, stole some guns, stole his car, and headed out west. Now, these two geniuses weren't even smart enough to vary their route. They stayed on the exact same route, heading west, and every so often they would stop and steal gas and food from whatever convenience store they pulled off the interstate at. And after a while, the police could actually see the pattern of about how frequently they were stopping. And so they set up some sort of an ambush out west, and these two guys pulled off the interstate and pulled into this gas station, saw the ambush, somehow got themselves back on the interstate, and are now being pursued at a high rate of speed by several state troopers. One of these young men is driving the stolen car as fast as he can. The other one rolls down the passenger side window and hoists himself up, sits down on the sill. It points a stolen rifle back at the trooper that was pursuing them, pulls the trigger. It's a perfect shot. Hits the trooper, goes through the windshield, hits the trooper right between the eyes. Immediately ushers that young trooper into eternity, leaving a wife and a small baby. Now, it was really fascinating to me to hear what the mother of one of those boys said in the media the next day or two, right after that happened. She said, "You have to understand, my son is not a bad boy. He just had a rough childhood. He's not a bad boy. He just had a rough childhood." That's Freudian. All of this, you understand, comes right out of the pen of Sigmund Freud. But I heard that and I thought, what would a person have to do in this culture before you would actually say he was a bad boy? And tell me, what would you have to do before you say, you know what, that was actually sinful what he did. He was wrong. He was responsible for his actions, and he ought to be held accountable for it. Now, what would it take before we would just have the courage in this culture to say, you are like a bad boy, dude, you are a bad boy. And I'm sorry, I'm talking like an old guy now, but it is amazing how much that has changed in one generation. Because my mama, and you can ask her, she's overseeing the bookstore in the community center right now. I mean, you can ask her, she's a little short thing, that's my mom. And the woman sitting next to her is my wife. You can ask either one of them. But my mom, she used to call me bad boy all the time. All the time when I was growing up. And I never shot anybody. Except that one time with the BB gun and my sister. But I mean, let's not, I didn't really mean it. But anyway, I mean, I just simple things like knocking my milk over at the supper table because I was messing around. I mean, whack. That's all that was. You're a bad boy. Be more careful. And it never dawned on me to blame my my actions on somebody else. Like, well, Mom, that wasn't my fault. That's because you used to feed me cereal in a square bowl when I was a child. I mean, it just never even dawned on me to say that. In fact, my relationship with her essentially consisted of this. Me doing bad stuff, her pronouncing me a bad boy, her making me bend over, and then her just beating the fire out of me. That just it. And again, it just never dawned on me to try to excuse my behavior or try to blame it on somebody else. I mean, I didn't get out of those things. Except one time, my mom will tell you this, one time, she used to do the send you to your room thing, you know, the purgatory, the parental purgatory thing. And so I'm in my room, and I'm going to get another spanking. So I look around, and I find a picture book. And I stuff it down in my pants like this. I mean, I'm just a little guy. I stuff it right down in my pants. And she comes in, of course, the bend over, and I bent over, and she could see the outline of the book in my little drawers, and she was laughing so hard that she could not bring herself to whack me. That's the only time I ever got out of spanking in my whole life. But to suggest somehow that it was somebody else's fault. I mean, obviously, I could illustrate this all day long, but we live in a culture that says all sorts of outrageous things about the past, as if the past is everything. That's their position. The past is everything. You're being ruthlessly driven to behave the way you behave based on events from your past. That's why you're not responsible for what you do today, and that's why you shouldn't be held accountable. Now, coming the other direction, another reason I would want to talk to you about this would be many biblical counselors who would seem to believe that the past